Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
This guy walks up to him, and he says this. He says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So pretty straightforward, right? This guy who Jesus doesn't know comes to Jesus, and this gentleman is trying to invoke the divine authority of Jesus. Now, we don't even know how much this guy really knew, except that the Bible tells us that Jesus taught as one having authority. He was known as a rabbi, as a teacher. So this guy recognized there is a crowd around this guy. He has some authority. Maybe even he recognized that there was some spiritual authority there. Maybe he had seen Jesus heal some people. Whatever it was, he knew this, that if he could get Jesus to validate this desire he had for more money out of the inheritance, that it would make him happy. He would get what he was wanting out of the situation. And so he's trying to get Jesus to kind of clean up this mess that he's in. The other night we were with some friends and they have two little girls in their home. And right at the end of the evening, they have an older daughter who's about 5 or so, and she's the rule follower. And then they have a younger one that's a rule bender. Anyone know any rule followers in the room? How about the rule benders? Yeah, again, no pointing fingers. Yeah. And so at the end of the evening, I just happened to look down the hallway and I saw the rule bender, the little toddler, the little 2-year-old. And she had quietly snuck into the other room in the kitchen and she had something in her hand. And I said, "I think Hadley has something in her hands. What is that?" As one of the parents went and got closer, realized that she had snuck into the kitchen, got a full-size Butterfinger candy bar, opened it up, and was just double-fisting the thing and eating it as fast as she could. It's one of those where you're trying not to laugh because you don't want to condone the behavior, but it's pretty darn funny, right? And as she comes into the other room, they get the candy bar out of her hands, and she's just, she's as happy as can be, right? She's on a sugar high now. And her older sister, the rule follower, gets her and kind of looks her in the eyes. And I just happened to be standing right next to her. And she said, "You're supposed to ask first. Sister, you're supposed to ask first." And she said, "You're supposed to make sure that I get some too." And I love it. And yet there's a little twinge of conviction as well, because I know that that's me sometimes, right? That's me sometimes, that sometimes, I want to kind of invoke the authority and kind of, tell people, you shouldn't be doing that, but, make sure that I get some, right? Look out for me. And it's kind of what this guy is doing here. Here's another way to say it, that sometimes we have an agenda, and that's what this guy had. He had an agenda as he approached Jesus. He had an agenda when it came to his possessions and what he wanted in his life. And so this guy comes to Jesus and he says, basically, "Get my brother to give me more money." And in verse 14, Jesus says to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" He's like, "This is not my job. I'm just a teacher. I'm not an arbitrator. Don't pull me into your personal problems. Don't pull me into your mess," is kind of what Jesus is saying here. And yet, I want you to keep in mind that there were plenty of times where Jesus got involved in personal problems. There were plenty of times where he intervened in situations. Even take, for instance, the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and he intervened in the situation. I mean, this is between them. He had nothing to do with it. But he stepped in and he defended her. And there were plenty of occasions where Jesus spoke into personal problems. But in this situation, he's sitting there and he's going, "My job is not to clean up your mess. My job is to bring you to the heart of things. My job is to lead you to truth that will help you be made right with God. I want you to embrace this truth that I'm going to share with you in just a moment. It's kind of what Jesus is saying here. And he's, because this truth, if you get it, it will change everything for you. And so in verse 13, he says, take heed of this. Listen, he says, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So in other words, Jesus is saying, you think you have a people problem. You think you just have a problem with your brother, but the reality is you have a possessions problem. You have treasure imbalance in your life. Because you think that your life is all about getting more stuff and getting more money, you're missing the big picture here. And ultimately, something's taken over in your heart. It's called covetousness. And it's gonna cause you a lot of pain. And so now Jesus moves into this parable. And so he's going to share with them this parable. And I want you to note this, that whenever Jesus tells a parable in the Bible, it's kind of a good news, bad news situation. It's kind of a good news. So, you know, whenever you give good news, bad news, you got to start with the bad news first, right? The bad news is that this guy does not get it. The bad news is that he is as blind as a bat to what's really going on in his life. And the bad news is that when Jesus tells you a parable, he's saying, I'm going to put a truth in this story because if I just told you the truth, you would just reject it. You wouldn't listen to it. So instead, I'm going to package it in this parable, in this story. And so here's the good news. The good news is you're going to have an opportunity to receive truth that will change your life. So when Jesus tells this parable, again, he's giving opportunity for this guy to receive truth that will change his life. And in fact, on numerous occasions, Jesus, when he shares a parable, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he's saying, if you could just be open to what God wants to say to you, this will change everything in your life. As I share this parable, and so I say the same thing with us this morning, for each and every one of us, including me in this room. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because I believe that the truth that's packaged in this parable this morning has the opportunity to change everything. That when we can get treasure balanced in our life in a way that puts Jesus in the middle of it all and allows his truth to guide us in how to approach that which we possess, again, I believe it will bring fulfillment in your relationships. It will bring peace where there's division. It will heal where there's brokenness. But it starts with this ability to receive the truth. And so the parable starts this way in verse 16. I'm just going to read through it here. Jesus says, he then spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. Got to say it that way, right? Fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So you get the picture. This guy has a harvest. He has fields, he's planted, and they've grown up, and now he has this huge, huge harvest. And as he sees how much he has, he realizes it's not going to fit all in his barns, and so he decides to make these plans to tear down his barn and build warehouses. And he, in this process, at night, as the parable goes, he stands before God. And it's representing the end of our lives when we'll stand before him. And there he is, and God says to him, why did you do this? Don't you know? I mean, don't you know that you've missed what it's all about? You've been foolish. You've been unwise in how you've approached your life. And that these things that you've stored up, it doesn't matter, really. And so again, Jesus presents this truth through this parable that I believe for us gives us this opportunity to think about how to get treasure balanced in our life. How to, as we approach all the things that we have, how to begin to approach them in a way that they will actually give life that God intends for it to have. They will actually, as we steward that which God has put in our hands, they will actually strengthen our relationships and strengthen the things that God has called us to do rather than take away from them. So, just three simple things I want to give you to this morning. How do we make sure to have treasure balance in our lives? Here's the first thing. Pay attention to your plans. You've got to pay attention to your plans. And again, this guy had plans to tear down his barn and to build a big warehouse. And I ask you this morning, what are your plans? Because your plans will always tell you something. Your plans will tell you something about your priorities. So what are your plans? And what are your plans telling you? There was a story of a guy who was excited. One day he called his mom and said, I've met my dream girl. I've met her. And he said, now what should I do? And his mom said, send her flowers on the card. Invite her to your house for a home-cooked meal. The guy said, okay. So he did it. He sent the flowers. And next day the mom called and said, hey, how did it go with the girl? And the guy said, oh, it was horrible. It was just horrible, 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 horrible. Just bad. She said, well, why? Didn't she come over? He said, yeah, she did, but she didn't want to cook for me. Here's the thing. So often we can make plans, but it's all about having others serve us. It's all about what are you going to do for me? I got to kind of reveal to you a little secret trick. I've been doing marriage counseling for the better part of 15 years. And one of the first things I do when I sit with a couple who's going through some things is I'll ask them, hey, what are your plans? And it could be that I'll ask about what are they doing this week, what are they doing during the summer. And I genuinely want to hear what they have to say, but I'm also listening. Because often what I've found is when I ask about the plans that a couple has, that maybe is, especially if their marriage is struggling in some way, I'm listening to how much of their plans are individual plans. How many of their plans are about, you know, well, I'm going hunting for the next 6 months, so I'm not going to see my family for 6 months. Oh, interesting. Again, I'm picking on the hunters today, which is dangerous because you guys own guns. I know that. you could go down the list, but I'm listening for where are those places where are they finding ways to be intentional to come together? Are they even making plans that have to do with serving one another or doing something that the other enjoys together? And again, what I believe is this, is that your plans reveal something about your priority. You plan your priorities. And so as you're making plans, whatever your plans look like in your life, whether that has to do with what you're saving for or what your goals and dreams are, what your steps are that you're looking to take next, your plans are going to tell you something. And if your plans revolve all around you, you should probably be a little concerned. That if your plans at some point don't have to do with how am I going to serve others in this process, you know, even if you own a business and you're building a business, if it's someday, and you know, that's what I loved about my friend Howard that I met on the airplane. He had some genuine good intentions and even good desires. He just needed a little bit of help to kind of redirect some things. But this guy in the storehouse, he had a barn that he was going to tear down to build a big storehouse, a big warehouse. And you might be sitting there and you might go, well, doesn't God want us to make plans? I mean, isn't that a good thing? And I would say yes. God, he is all about plans. We talked last week about the parable of the talents and the two guys that invested theirs and the other guy who dug a hole and buried his in the ground. And God said the guys who made plans to invest theirs, they're going to be rewarded with more. And the guy who did nothing with his, he's going to have it taken away and it's going to be given to them. So it's not that God doesn't want you to make plans, but you better pay attention to the direction of your plans. Because again, your plans reveal something about your direction. And is your life actually fulfilling the purpose of God that he has for you? So here this guy in this story, he has these plans, and I think here's what I would say, and I just have to confess this personally. I'm a serial planner. I love to make plans. And this is also important because when you can be honest about your plans and even surrender them to the Lord, it's going to help you to recognize those moments when God wants to realign or readjust your plans. And so there's more to this because Jesus says, and really the problem wasn't just this guy had plans, but it was what he was going to do with the plans, right? Because the guy said, my goal in building this storehouse is to put everything in there and then say, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Basically, he had plans, but the problem was the purpose of the plans. The purpose of his plans were pleasure. It was all about him getting to party, getting to just enjoy his riches. And that's the second thing I would say this morning. If you're going to find balance with the treasure in your life, pay attention to the purpose of your plans. Because the purpose of your plans will reveal where your heart is. Again, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And so Jesus wanted this guy to catch this, that there's something more. He's saying, man, you've allowed something of a different motive to drive what you're doing, and it's gonna hurt you in the end. Beware. That word beware, take heed. Those are words of warning and caution in the Greek language. They would be the same kind of word that you would say, tell to someone if you're coming up on a cliff and about to drop off the edge. So when Jesus says to this guy, beware, take heed, he's saying, this will kill you. If you keep living covetous, if you keep allowing selfish desires to drive how you're living and how you're prioritizing things, this will kill you. Pay attention. You're making plans, but what's the purpose of those plans? Just a couple months ago, this is a silly story, but I was at home and we had a couple slices of leftover pizza in the fridge. And I had plans for those pizza slices. In fact, I had the oven on preheating because I don't like to microwave it. I want to put it back in the oven so it gets that nice crisp layer on top. You know what I'm talking about? Microwaving pizza, it just gets all smushy. Nah, don't do that. You know, yeah, that's free. You don't even have to pay me for that one. That's just free advice right there. And Stacy calls down and says, hey, Logan has a game and he needs some food before he goes. Can you heat up that pizza for him? I'm thinking, I can probably cram it down and say the pizza's gone, right? I can just cram them down. I don't know where it went, right? I had a decision to make, right? Am I going to surrender my plans or am I going to be open? And I did what any good father would do. I gave him one piece and I gave me one piece. But God says, He calls this guy in this story, he says, you're a fool. Your priorities are all out of whack. And so you have treasure in balance. Pay attention to the purpose of your plans. But here's the third thing. If you're going to get your treasure in balance, you've got to be rich towards God. At the end of this, Jesus says, at the end of the day, what this is all about is you've got to learn how to be rich toward God. And see, people who maintain a good balance of treasure in their life, they are rich toward God. Now, that's a unique statement, isn't it? But Jesus is painting this picture, again, as he describes the way this guy in this parable is going to stand before God someday. He's saying, you're going to stand before him as well. And what will you say? Have you lived your life in a way? And I want us to understand that being rich towards God really is about a mindset. Because the opposite of being rich towards God, you can either be poor towards God or you can be rich towards yourself, right? Or rich towards others. But when you're rich towards God, what it's about is this mindset that says, God, you are the most valuable thing to me. And you are my source. You're where everything comes from, but you're also the one that I live for. And so I want to be living my life in a way where everything that I'm doing, everything in my life is moving towards how can I want to be more rich towards you, God. You are my riches. You are my reward. That you are the most valuable thing to me, God. And that when you are rich towards him, when you begin to say and think that way, that God, you are number one, you are the most valuable thing to me. Now everything in your life gets reoriented. And now you begin to say, God, anything I have, all the earthly riches I have, my possessions, I want them to, first and foremost, I want to show how much I value you through what I have. And so, again, it's saying, God, all I have, I want to build it around you. I want you to guide my steps, and I don't want my possessions to have power over me. I want you to be Lord in my life. And so this morning, I want to just give just a couple practical things. In fact, five practical things on how do we start living rich towards God. And these are things that I've learned in my own life. The first is if you're going to be someone who's rich towards God, you first got to study. Study His Word. Because when you study His Word, you learn His heart on things. Philippians 3:8, Paul says, I count all things lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Him. See, when you read His Word, you get to know Him. And when you get to know Him, His values become your values. And now you begin to go, I can count everything else as lost. I don't need all the stuff in this world that the world says I need. When I'm watching the TV and the Black Friday commercials are coming on and telling me that today I can get a brand new Lexus with zero down. That would be amazing, right? Well, God, what is your heart on things? So we want to study to know His heart. But secondly, we want to pray. We want to pray, and we want to pray Psalms 119:36. You can write it down, but God, guide me in living out the truth of your word. Guide me as I prioritize my life. So we want to study, but we also want to pray and again say, Lord, lead me in your ways. Here's the thing. I don't want anyone walking out of here and doing anything out of guilt. Don't do anything out of guilt or shame, because that's not of God either. But you know what is of God? What is of God when you get close to Him and you recognize how much He loves you. And when you begin to recognize how much He loves you and how His desire is so great to bless you that you begin to put your trust in Him in a whole new way. And then you begin to recognize those simple opportunities that show up where you go, God, I think you want me to bless this person, or you want me to help in this way. God, you've given me this, but it isn't just you've given me this money or you've given me this blessing of sorts, but I want to use it in this way. But you get that because you're close to Him. Here's the third thing. Trust God's promises. You got to pray, you got to study, you've got to pray, but you got to trust. Trust His promises. And I would encourage you, there are so many promises. There's throughout His Word that have to do with His provision, that He will be faithful to provide. Trust His promises that your needs will be met. And then number four, give. And give regularly and give spontaneously. And here's what that looks like for me. A while back, I had to go on because I could never find the checkbook. And I've just put my little tithe in on our bank account to go on a regular basis. But you know what? A while back, the Lord prompted me on something that for me, tithing had just become regular. It was just, okay, whatever. There you go. Just boom, done. And I needed to make sure that my heart was expanding on a regular basis. So I felt like the Lord just showed me that not only that, I need to have that regular place of giving, but I also need to be ready to give spontaneously when He taps me on the shoulder. So I keep a little extra money in our savings account, and I keep a little, sometimes I'll even have a little extra in my pocket. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I had to empty it out to give it to someone that had a need. And it wasn't burdensome. In fact, it was more joyful. In fact, it was more for me. At the end of the day, I'm sure they were blessed and helped by it, but at the end of the day, I was the one that was blessed. Because it killed something in my heart. It killed something of the greed that I wrestle with on a daily basis. Then fifthly, submit your decisions to others. The Bible, in fact, talks about how we need to submit to one another in love. And it's about giving trust to one another's voice in our life. And this could be in your home, in your family, with your spouse. It should be with your spouse. But it could also be in your business. I know for me, I'm so thankful for our church council that I submit decisions on a regular basis. We're constantly talking about things, constantly praying through things. And it's this place of saying, I don't have to have it, right? I don't have to have it. I want to receive wisdom. And so we invite the trusted voices of truth tellers who are God-fearing people in our lives to speak truth. And so I know for me, even with Stacy, there's many times where I'm submitting decisions to her. She's submitting decisions to me. I told a story in the last service, and I wasn't planning on telling it, but I'll tell it with you guys as well. And that I've, and this is, it may sound a little goofy, but over the last year, I've been wanting a new TV. And so I've been saving up and had some dollars stashed away. And just recently, and Stacy had given me the thumbs up, yeah, go ahead and get it. You know, you have the money. I actually got the TV. I was sitting there in my living room, and as I looked at it the other day, I realized the Lord whispered to my heart and said, you haven't asked me about that. So we loaded it into the car and took it back to the store. And when we submit, and by the way, I may end up having a new TV within a month or two. I don't know. But the point isn't the TV. The point is, am I willing to surrender my desires to him and to others? Am I willing to trust him to lead the way in my life? And when that's the case, that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you have treasure balance in your life, that there's nothing that has power over you, and that you live from this place of confidence that he is good and he is faithful and he takes care of you. And when that takes place, I can tell you that not only will treasure be in a place of balance, but even more, your relationships will be in a place of health. You'll experience the peace of God ruling and reigning in good and amazing ways. And so I want you to set your Bibles aside this morning. I want to just pray over you today. Again, as I said just a moment ago, my hope is that we all have ears to hear on this. And please hear me on this. Please listen. Again, I said it earlier, I don't want you walking out of this room feeling guilty because you just bought a TV the other day, and oh, great, I guess we better go take our TV back as Pastor said we have to. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. I want you to know that God loves you. In fact, God wants to bless you with more treasure. That's the amazing thing about him. He is so good. He loves to bless us, but like a father with his children, he also knows that sometimes more will just hurt us if we don't have things in our hearts in the right place. And so what I want to do here in the next few minutes as the worship team comes forward, I want you to just close your eyes. And I want you to just give a moment here to listen. And I want you to, again, ask yourself, where is my treasure? How am I doing here? God, is there anything that you want me to see or to do today? Is there anything in my life that you would point out to me, Lord? Maybe for some, God would be whispering to your heart that maybe you need to pay attention to some of your plans, that maybe he wants to realign something. Maybe for others today that it would have to do with even motives that you'd confess and say, God, I've been a little selfish in this area. Would you please forgive me? Maybe you'll even need to go to someone and ask forgiveness. But this morning, I want to just give us this opportunity to listen. What's he saying to you? Maybe there's even one of those areas where you'd recognize, God, I want to be rich towards you. I want to be someone that all that I have revolves around you, that you are my source, and ultimately, God, I want how I take care of my stuff to honor you. And maybe this morning, one of those things that I shared this morning, maybe it would even be as simple as walking away from this morning and saying, God, I'm going to open your word. Would you speak to me promises that I can stand on to trust you to provide for me? And so now you've gotten the opportunity to listen. And I hope that you'll write it down. Even write down what you're going to do, how you're going to live that truth out this week. And so before we go any further here, and as we move in just a time of prayer for a moment, I want to give a simple invitation right now as well. Because maybe for some this morning, you're sitting here and you're going, this is great, but I know this. I know that I've been distant from God. I mean, maybe you could relate to my friend Howard that I met on the plane, that you go, you know, I've been cool with God, but I haven't been close to God. And God, I need to be close to you today. I want to draw back. Maybe for some, you're coming back to God. Maybe today you would be coming to God for the very first time. You'd say, God, I need you in my life. I don't want to just know you from a distance. I want to know you up close and personal. God, I want to know your grace, and I want to know your love. I want the things that I've been carrying, even the guilt and the shame of my past. I don't want those in my life anymore. I want to live with the confidence that you love me, that you care for me, and I want to live following you and your ways from this day forward. And so if that would be anyone at all this morning, they'd say, I want today to be a new beginning. I want to invite Jesus Christ into my life. I want to put my faith in him. I want to follow him. I want to put him in the number one place in my life. Would you just lift up your hand so I can pray for you? Anyone at all that would say, that's me? Yeah. Anyone else that would say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? I want to put God in that place. I want today to be that new beginning. I want that relationship, that closeness with him. Anyone else? Awesome. Awesome. He loves you so much. Lord, right now, we thank you for those that would respond to you today. Those that would say yes to you and yes to your love. Lord, we thank you that in this moment, Lord, that you are rushing into hearts and lives, Lord, and that you're healing, you're restoring, you're giving us your peace, and you're bringing forgiveness. And so, Lord, I just pray for each one that have said yes to you this morning. I pray, God, that you would just meet them in this place. In fact, I just want everyone to just agree with me out loud in just one voice. If you could just repeat after me in just agreement with these that have made that prayer, let's repeat this simple prayer out loud together. Jesus, I choose you today. I say yes to your love and to following you from this day forward. Lead me in your ways. You are my treasure. You are my reward. In Jesus' name. And Lord, for each of us this morning, it's our prayer as well. You are our reward. We love you. We thank you for your goodness. We pray this morning that you would lead us in the ways, Lord, of balancing our treasure. We thank you for the many ways you have blessed us. We thank you that your desire is to bless us. Lord, help us to live with that confidence daily that you're going to take care of us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.